Okay, church, let's have a seat. Let's get going. If you're ready in your seat, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians, by grace alone. Galatians, this is, we are in the home stretch of our series on Galatians. I'll finish chapter 5 today. Pepe's going to come and wrap it all up in one amazing sermon next Sunday. So, chapter 5, verse 22, last week we looked at, the theme was grace or free to serve, and I talked about our journey of faith in Christ being like walking on a path called grace, and the Lord wanted us to stay on the path of grace, not adding anything to it, not falling off into a ditch where we add rules and regulations and act all legalistic about this faith journey, this good news of grace. So we're on a path of grace. Don't fall off into law and legalism. Don't fall off into the ditch of our sinful nature, doing whatever our old nature urged us to do. And so today, we're going to continue looking at chapter 5, and we're going to finish it. And chapter 5, in this final few verses, looks at something called the fruit of the Spirit. So we're going to be looking at fruit. And so listen up, young people, because I'm going to get your help in a little bit. So the fruit of the Spirit. So today's message is titled Freedom Bears Fruit. And we're going to look at the type of fruit we want to bear. So verse 22, this is the New Living Translation. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all of it. Thank you for leading us by your Spirit to focus on Galatians this summer. Thank you for this portion that talks about fruit in our lives that is good fruit, that is produced by your Holy Spirit. So we pray that our lives would be lived in such a way that you produce a whole lot of good fruit in each one of us, and that it would glorify your name and draw others to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So right away in verse 22, we get a key, which is the Holy Spirit produces the fruit. We are not capable of producing good fruit. It says the Holy Spirit produces it. So right away, we have to recognize that good fruit is something that the Holy Spirit does. It says he produces it in us. We can't produce fruit. Now, I'm not a farmer, but I've grown up around farmers, and I like every farmer I've ever met. And there are certain things you can do using this agricultural metaphor. You can plant the right stuff, and you can cultivate the soil. But the Lord is the one who produces all of the vegetables in our crops, all of the fields, all of the fruit. Jesus calls himself the vine in John chapter 15. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And the whole point of the vine and the branches is to produce fruit, the grapes. And so God says, if you live by my Spirit, I will produce good fruit in you. And so we're going to look a little more about how the Holy Spirit does that and what our role is to play. But I just want, for all the young people here, there's something that's very basic, but it just bears emphasizing here. So if I were to take a packet of carrot seeds and planted them, what would I get? What would grow from those seeds? Carrots. Right. And if I were to plant beans, if I would take seeds and plant beans, what would grow? Okay. See? Right. It's really basic, but it's really important. You can't plant carrots and get sweet corn. No matter how much you love sweet corn, you can't plant carrots and get that. You reap what you sow. And that gets covered in chapter 6 next week. Pepe is going to bring that home for us. But it's really important that if we want the good fruit that is here, then we cannot put in the ground of our lives the old sinful nature. We can't have hatred, anger, jealousy, envy, hostility. We can't have those things in our lives and expect to produce good fruit. The Holy Spirit has this principle where what you plant, what you sow, what you do is what you're going to reap. And we're going to look at that further. So that's one basic agricultural thing. And then the other thing here, if we can't produce the fruit and we know that you're going to get whatever you plant, that's what's going to grow, then the other thing we can do is we can cultivate the soil. And so we can do things to make sure there's nutrients in the soil. We can do things to make sure that we don't let weeds go crazy in the soil, but we can't produce the fruit. God does that work, but we can do a few things to cultivate it. And so we'll look at that here in a minute. Okay. So if I plant apple seeds, I'll get apples. If I plant grape seeds, I will get grapes. I can't plant one thing and get another. And Jesus says this in Matthew 7. He says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? No. Or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and likewise, a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. All right, we've got that. So here's the takeaway. If we lead lives, if we make choices, if the seed that we sow is from our sinful nature, then we're going to harvest that gruesome list that we looked at last week in verses 19, 20, and 21. And it is full of awful stuff. Right, here's a slide. So if we plant those kinds of seeds, then this is what goes on. We have idolatry, we have outbursts of anger, jealousy, quarreling, selfish ambition. It's a really sobering list. All right. If that's the kind of seed we're working with, then we're going to produce fruit that's not good. But we want to produce good fruit. And the Holy Spirit is intent on producing good fruit in our lives. So when we live by the Spirit, when we grow and produce really good fruit, it says that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, that's the fruit that is produced in our lives. And here's verse 23 at the very end. It says something really powerful. You can't, against these good fruit, there is no law. There's nothing anyone has against these things. That's really remarkable. Go to any culture in the world, go to any community, go to any home, and nobody says, get rid of love and joy and peace, right? Like every parent in here is thinking of their kids beside them, more love. More joy, more peace, bring it. You know, there's certain things that have been outlawed in our communities and even in our schools. You can't pray out loud in schools, they say, but no one is telling you to leave love, joy, peace, patience, kindness behind when you come to school, are they? Against these fruits of the Spirit, there is nothing. No one holds anything against it. More of it is what everybody wants. It's more, Lord, more joy, more love, more peace, more patience. Nobody will tell you, stop it, leave that at the door, don't bring it to work with you. Right? And that's an amazing thing, because even some of the best things in life, you can get too much of. But you can't get too much of this. I as a little boy, I had a really strong fondness for peanut butter. I love peanut butter. I would eat it for for lunch. I would eat it for snacks. We had this thing, I think it was only in Mennonite community, you would mix corn syrup with peanut butter and eat it on a spoon. Come on. Like, that would light you up. I ate so much peanut butter before I got to elementary school that I developed an allergic reaction and I would get a rash when I ate peanut butter. I wasn't born that way. I did it to myself. Who would have thought you could eat too much peanut butter? That cannot be bad for you, but it was. Too much of a good thing. I also, after I got into elementary school, I went off of peanut butter for a year, it seemed like. It was a crisis in my life. And praise God, I got healed and I could eat it again. And crunchy Jif peanut butter all the way, rocks. Okay, so then in elementary school, I got really fond of chocolate. And I would eat chocolate every chance I got. And I like chocolate so much, I would take Nestle's Quick powder mix in a little container in my pack to school, and I would put it in my milk because I was born before they had chocolate milk in schools. But that didn't stop me. I made chocolate milk. And I would have so much chocolate that sure enough, I got an allergic reaction. I would get a rash when I would have chocolate. I was like, stop it, you know? So, another crisis. I went off of it for what seemed like forever. And now, in moderation, I can have chocolate. You can have too much of a good thing. You might be really fond of fresh tomatoes or fresh strawberries, and you might eat so many of them, you get sores in your mouth because of the acidic. Some of you have overdone it. You just nodded your head. I saw that. I won't say your name out loud. I've done it. It's possible to have too much of a good thing. It is impossible to have too much of the fruit of the Spirit. There is no law against tons and tons of love, joy, peace, patience. Nowhere in the world where they tell you that's too much, stop it. It's an amazing thing. This is really good fruit, and you cannot have too much. You cannot carry too much of it with you. And the beautiful thing is, as that fruit is produced in our lives, everywhere we go, we bring it. The kingdom goes as we bring love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control along with us. Can't have too much of it. There's no law against it. All right, verse 24. Here's some really good news. We looked at it last week. It says that those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. We have this war going on inside of us. If you go back to verses 17 and 18 in chapter 5, we have this war going on. Our spirit is at war with our sinful nature, and the sinful nature doesn't want to do what the spirit wants, and the spirit doesn't want to do what the sinful nature wants. And Romans 7 is a whole chapter about this conflict that's going on. And the good news, church, is because we follow Jesus, the spirit wins, and we are no longer enslaved to our sinful nature. We are no longer obligated to do the evil urges that come to us. That's good news. We sang that I'm no longer a slave to fear. And while we were singing that, I went and looked in verses 14, 16, 17, and 18 in Romans. And here's what it says. See, we're no longer slaves to fear. We're no longer slaves to all sin. I copied it. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteousness. Wow. We can change the lyrics to that song and say, I'm no longer a slave to sin. That would encompass fear and everything else. That's really good news. So it's been crucified. Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to come and rehab your old nature. He says, no, it's been nailed to the cross and it's dead. And now you have a new life in Christ. And I have given you a new heart and I've put a new spirit in you. So now let's look at verse 25. It says, as we live by the Spirit, we follow the Spirit's leading in all areas of our life. And so I just want you to say, realize when it says all areas of your life, that means all. So all of our relationships, we can follow the Spirit's leading. All of our career choices, our vocation, all of our family decisions, all of our community, all of our church, the Lord wants to lead every part of our life by His Spirit. We follow the Spirit's leading in all areas of our life. The Holy Spirit wants to glorify the Father God and point people to Jesus in every area of our life. That's what the fruit of the Spirit does. It attracts people to God. It makes them hungry for the things that are being manifest in your life. And remember, no one will stop you from bringing these fruits, from these qualities. No one says, stop it already. You're just too kind. No more gentleness. Quit being so patient. Enough already. No, nobody says, stop it to those fruits. So we remember that in verse 22, it says only the Spirit can produce this good fruit. So what is our part in this? If the Holy Spirit produces this fruit and we can't make it happen, we can plant the right things and we can cultivate the soil of our lives. And so when we think about this, I just want to use a parallel. And so our physical bodies have a parallel with our spiritual lives. And I've talked earlier this year about the additional measures I've needed to take to keep my physical body fit and healthy, okay? And so, young people, I want you to think about this because there's three things I've learned that promote good health in your bodies. Three things. And the first thing is something you overlook all the time, young people. And so, what is it? What is it that our body needs to be healthy that you're always overlooking?
Sleep.
Yeah, some of you oldsters came up with that one too. So we keep thinking that we can put sleep on the back burner and we'll be healthy. Well, it's not true. We need sleep. We need rest. Okay, a second thing that promotes healthy bodies. What is it? Exercise, yes. And that's something that I've had to do more of to stay in good shape this year. Okay, what's the third thing? It's key. Nutrition. When I was in a software programmer and we had this saying, and it was true in software, it's true in our bodies, garbage in, garbage out. You don't put bad data into a software program and expect good results. You get garbage out. You don't put garbage in you don't eat Mountain Dew, donuts, ice cream for three meals a day and expect to be as amazing as David Mahagan. Right? You garbage in. Now, I love all of those foods in moderation. And ask Sue. I am, never mind. Don't ask. I'm busted. Okay. So if you're going to have a healthy body, you need rest, you need exercise, and you need good nutrition. You've got, and I did some extensive research on the web, and there are five super foods that will make you especially healthy. Here they are. Blueberries. Oatmeal. Salmon. Spirulina. What is that, right? Who eats that? Be honest. Who eats? Come on. Like I had to go to dictionary. It's seaweed, church. Don't do it. And there was a fifth thing, and I can't remember what it is. Now, so healthy bodies need rest, exercise, and nutrition. Our spirit benefits from all of those three things too. Our spirit will benefit. It's part of cultivating the soil of our lives. Our spirit needs rest. God gave us a Sabbath, not just so our physical bodies rest, because our spirits need to rest in Him. It's a blessing to be able to rest in the Lord. He also gives us exercise. He wants us to exercise our faith. He wants us, our spirits, to expand and to grow and to believe who He is and step out in our lives knowing that He's good and trustworthy. It's good to exercise our spirits. It's good to rest our spirit. And it's good to feed our spirits. And what is it that is the most beneficial for your spirit? I've come up with two things. I've got two spiritual superfoods for you here this morning. Okay? One of them is God's word. His truth. His word is true. John 17:17. Thy word is true. So one of the things that will cultivate the soil of our spirit in such a way that produces good fruit is knowing God's word. Study God's word. Read God's word. Meditate on God's word. Memorize God's word. And then do it all over again. Read God's word. Study it. Because when we embrace God's word, then we can make fruit in our lives that's good. No. Don't fall for that. Don't get self-righteous and think, I'm going to read God's word, and I'm going to be more loving, and I'm going to read God's word, and I'm going to be... No, what you're doing is you're creating an intimacy and a connection with the Lord that he can bring what's true up when you get into situations where you need to be patient and forgiving and kind and loving, and you have a capacity to do it because God's word is hidden in your heart, and you embrace it, and you apply it. Not because... You cannot produce this fruit on your own, but you can create an intimacy with the Holy Spirit that just flows out of your life. Okay? And here's the other super fruit. Superfood. God's word, his truth. The other one is grace. Church, your spirit can never have too much grace. God's unmerited, undeserved favor and blessing on your life. You can never have too much grace in your spirit. And what's really good news is when you're gracious, no one gets too much of that either. So if you're going to cultivate an intimacy with the Lord, if you're going to prepare the soil of your life, of your spirit, in such a way that the Lord will use it to produce really good fruit like what we've been looking at, then embrace God's word, study it, know it, learn it, and embrace God's grace in your life. So what does it look like to embrace God's word? Well, I said earlier, read it regularly. Again, looking at the parallels between the physical and the spiritual. If I were to recognize rest, exercise, and nutrition are all really good, so today on Sunday, I'm going to sleep 10 hours, I'm going to eat three amazing meals of blueberries, oatmeal, salmon. I'm not eating spiral, whatever. but I would do that three times. I'd sleep 10 or 12 hours, and I would take a long walk with Sue, do some push-ups, sit-ups, some squats. I would do it all today, and then I will do nothing but whatever I want for the next 6 days of the week. No. That's ignorant, right? It doesn't work. We don't do it all right one day and think that will carry us for a week or for a month. It won't. And similarly, when it comes to embracing God's word and his truth in our lives and embracing his grace, we don't do it once on Sunday and think it'll carry us all week. That's ignorant. Uninformed. Ignorant sounds a little harsh, but politically correct. Uninformed. You need to do what is good at cultivating intimacy with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit. You do that day after day after day. And you know what? When it comes to fruit doesn't get produced in one day. It doesn't even get produced in one week. It takes months of the right soil, the right care. Some fruit trees take years before they produce fruit. Years of care, attention, and the right environment produces amazing fruit. And so we keep doing the right thing faithfully, day after day, week after week, month after month. I shared not too long ago with several people that I've particularly, it even occurred this week on one day, I've felt a little blah, just like a little spiritually lethargic, not revving, not hitting on all cylinders. And I felt that way in particular, felt really blah one day this week, early in the week. And then later on in the week, I started spending a lot of time in this
material preparing for Sunday, and I was spending more time with the Lord, and it was like this light bulb. The Spirit leading in my life made this connection that I was missing. And I've been really diligent over the years at reading God's word and putting it in my life on a daily basis. But over the last few weeks, I got pretty lazy, and I wasn't spending the kind of time and quality time in God's word that I normally do. And it was like the Holy Spirit was like, hey, Merle, you think there's a connection between not spending time with me and my word and you feeling a little blah? It was kind of like, duh. And again, I don't spend time in God's word so that he'll love me. And I don't spend time in God's word so that I can be righteous and holy and I can produce good fruit in my life. I spend time in God's word so that I can have a more intimate relationship with him, and so that he can bring his word to life in moments in my life when I need it. And so it just was all over for me, a reminder that I need him every day. I need more of his grace every day. I need more of his word every day. And we can do that. That's our part, is cultivating the soil of our spirit, of our lives, with more of his grace, more of his word, and to do it day after day after day. Just as we recognize the need for it in our physical bodies, we have a need for it in our spiritual bodies. I want to say a little bit more about God's grace and then close this up. The grace of God not only brings us salvation, which would be amazing enough. It's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is a gift of God, not by any works that we do, not by circumcision, not by standing on our head, not by saying 2 hours of prayer a day. We don't add anything to grace. Grace is this amazing power that saves us, and that nothing needs to be added to. No matter how great my sin has been in my whole life, no matter how great my sin has been in the last 24 hours, it doesn't overwhelm the grace of God. And no matter how good I am, no matter how self-righteous I try to be, no matter what good things I try to do to work my way to God, I have never been able to add 1 ounce of quality to grace. It is the power of God without any addition to it. My sin can't bring it down. My self-righteousness can't raise it up. The grace of God is the power that saves, and the grace of God is what empowers me day by day to walk with the Spirit, to walk in a way that lets the Spirit lead every part of my life. The grace of God isn't just to save me from my sins. The grace of God empowers me to live every day of my life. And this is how Paul said it. Paul, in two different places, we'll look at in his own life, he had what he called a thorn. He had this problem. He had this issue that was a huge challenge to him. In 2 Corinthians 12, it says, 3 different times I begged the Lord, take it away. And each time he said, my grace is all you need, Paul. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ, so that the grace of God will work through me. Paul had a challenge and an issue. We don't know what it was, but it was chronic, and he wasn't free from it, but it did not overwhelm his life. The grace of God was bigger and made every provision that he needed and empowered him to overcome in spite of never being free of that thing. In his letter to his young disciple, Titus, he says this in chapter 2:11, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men in Christ. And that's really good news. That would be enough good news. Then verse 12, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. The grace of God comes to your life and saves you from your sin, and the grace of God is in our lives day after day to say no to that crucified old nature. Say, no, you're dead behind me, Satan. This is really good news. We don't just get saved and then muck around trying to work it out. We're saved and we're empowered by the grace of God to do what he's called us to do and to say no to our sinful nature. Grace really is the superfood in our spirits. Grace of God, the Word of God. All right. Let's wrap this up. If I could have the anointed keyboardist. We're rolling. Sophie, come, work it. We have begun our journey of faith in Jesus Christ by grace. That's how Galatians starts out. You are on a journey of faith with Jesus by grace. Let's stay on that path, church. Don't fall off the ditch into legalism. Don't fall off the ditch into indulging our sinful nature. Stay on the path of grace. Our lives are going to produce fruit of some kind. And this last slide, this is a review of last week. Don't use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature, doing whatever I feel like, whatever I want. If I do, I will get this kind of fruit: sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, selfish ambition. It's an incredible list of our culture today, right? Don't take the freedom that we've been given by grace and live that way any longer. That's behind us. That's been crucified on the cross. The harvest of living life that way is death and destruction. Destruction and death. Here's the good news. Our freedom that we've been given in Christ, let's live it by the Spirit, in step with the Spirit. When we do, we get the fruit we've been talking about, of which there is no law, there is no limit, there is no, just this much, folks, and don't overdo kindness, don't overdo love, don't have too much joy. Woo. No, you cannot overdo these beautiful fruits in our character. And the harvest that we reap when we stay in step with the Spirit is blessing and eternal life with Christ. The Holy Spirit produces good fruit. We can cultivate intimacy with the Spirit by putting more of His Word in our hearts, by embracing the work of grace in our lives daily. This morning, I want to conclude with reading an excerpt from a book that talks about grace. Last week when I was talking about this pathway of grace and staying out of the ditch of legalism, staying out of the ditch of sinful nature, I noted that the prodigal son story in Luke chapter 15 is a wonderful depiction of my little metaphor of a path of grace. And in the prodigal son story, we have the younger son who goes off the rails and lives a foolish life and spends his inheritance on crazy drunken living and orgies and everything the world had to offer. He went for it until he had nothing and was you know, wallowing in it, literally in a pigsty. So he's the picture of giving yourself over to the sinful nature. And then the other picture in this story of the older son is this legalistic, uptight, bitter, angry guy who thought he did everything right but had no intimacy with God and really didn't like his brother at all. And then there's the father in the story who is this beautiful portrayal of grace. The prodigal son story is this beautiful parable, this beautiful story of living life according to the power and the path of grace. And here's a modern day version of that story. This pastor and author, Philip Yancey, did a modern day version of the prodigal son. And the story goes like this. There's a girl with a nose ring and an attitude. She rebels against her parents, runs away, and becomes a drug addicted prostitute in Detroit. The months go by. She sees her face on a milk carton, but never bothers to tell her family she's alive. Then 2 years later, she gets sick and really desperate. Her pimp throws her out on the street. All other alternatives exhausted, she calls home. She leaves a message on the answering machine, gets on a Greyhound bus and shows up at the bus station, figuring she'll scrounge a ride to her old home. As she steps off the bus, she finds herself greeted by 40 brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, cousins, grandparents, and her parents, all wearing party hats with a huge banner stretched out saying, "Welcome home." Before she can finish saying, "I'm sorry," her father comes alongside and murmurs, "Hush, sweetheart. We'll talk later. We've got to get you home to the party. There's a banquet waiting for you." Such abundant grace almost makes the parent look foolish, doesn't it? Looking foolish is a risk God willingly takes in extending us grace. We expect him to extract his pound of flesh to make us grovel and beg, but he doesn't. Just before he told of the prodigal son, Jesus said, "There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." And again he said, "There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Those in heaven see and celebrate conversions on earth. Heaven throws a party for every sinner who repents. Heaven celebrates every time we embrace the lavish grace of God. Let's stand up. I believe the good news of grace is for all of us. I think there's a special gift of grace here today for a few people that are having an argument in your head, maybe right now, saying, "Yeah, that's too good. That was fine for that girl who got off the bus, but I've done something so bad, God will never, never forgive me." And it's just a lie. Your old nature is dead and behind you if you just believe and embrace the gift of grace that Jesus Christ offers. The grace of God shown to us through the life and death of Jesus Christ in our place overwhelms all of our sin. Nothing is bigger than the sacrifice Jesus made for us. So ministry team, why don't you come forward? We'll pray for anything, any need you have this morning. We'll pray, physical, emotional, spiritual. But I believe that there's a few people here today who, when you come forward and you say yes to Jesus and you receive this grace of gift for the first, this gift of grace for the first time, that there will be a party in heaven today because you give your heart to receive this gift of grace. So I'm going to pray for all of us. And then if God's stirring in your heart for prayer for anything, come up, let the ministry team pray for you. But I think there's some people who God wants to bring you into his family today for the first time. Don't miss it. Today's your day. So Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, we know what's true. We know that a person is made right with you by faith in Jesus, not by obeying the law. We believe in Jesus, and so we are made right with God because of our faith in Christ alone. Not because we've obeyed the law, not because we've done things right, not because we've tried really hard to be good and please you. We are saved by grace, and we thank you for it. So thank you for your amazing grace, Lord. Thank you for favoring us and blessing us with your love and forgiveness, even though none of us deserve it. We embrace your grace. We ask you to pour out your grace on everyone. Empower each one of us to love and serve others as we go out of here today, all through the week. Fill us with more of your Spirit. Make our hearts full of your love. Produce the good fruit of the Spirit in our lives day by day. so that the people we meet would be hungry and thirsty to know you and walk with you as well. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, church. Go. Be full of grace. Get it all over the people you meet. Come forward for prayer for anything, especially if you want to be born of the Spirit. God bless you.